Time to talk some Oregon football with the spring scrimmage pending Saturday. As always, our guest will be alongside Jerry Allen, one of the best analysts around. Always great catching up with Mike Jorgensen. Jorgie, how you doing?
Steve, what's going on? How you doing?
All is well. All is well. Always appreciate your time. So,
absolutely.
I've got a very important two-part question. Are you playing in the flag football game at halftime? And should we have medical personnel standing by?
That was the discussion this afternoon or this morning, should I say, when I was out there at practice. First of all, no. And second of all, it's how many Achilles are going to go up in flames during that game on Saturday. That was there's an over and under of about five. And I don't know if there's 15 guys that are set up to play in that thing. But, yeah, we'll go through the draft tomorrow night at our alumni football social over there at the Hatfield-Dellen Complex, and it's going to be fun. It should be a lot of fun, but no, I'm going to be a spectator. There's no way I'd get on the field with some of those guys that are going to be out there.
Wise, wise man, Mr. Jorgensen. You know, you get real close to the coaches and the interviews and practice. You obviously watch each play of every game. So when these massive changes came, obviously it impacts you. I mean, you knew all these guys forever, but here we are more than 4 months later. When you think of Willie Taggart as Oregon coach, what characteristics of his stand out to you?
Well, the morals and the values that he practices, that he preaches and he practices every day. I mean, he truly, what he says he does, and what he believes in, he implements. I mean, he hit the ground running, as we all know, in January with really without a staff and without only a partial staff for a long period of time. But he got after it. He got after it hard. When he says guys are going to have to earn everything that they get, I believe it. Just based on the practices and the multiple practices I've been out there to, you don't get a hall pass, and I don't care if you're a fifth-year senior or if you're a second-year starter. I mean, you have to earn every single thing that you do. But he's, earned so far. Guys are buying in. He's earned the respect. So is the coaching staff. They're working hard with these guys. But that's what I really liked about him is he's tried and true. He's engaging. He's not afraid to take 10 extra questions when the questions are supposed to shut off. He has opened himself and the staff up to the public, and I know to a lot of the former alumni football players. So it's just a lot of things that are all encompassed into it. I've been very impressed with Coach Taggart.
Now, I know that the open competition at each position is a great concept, and I buy it, but let's assume Justin Herbert is the starter. Started 7 games as a freshman. What you've seen so far this spring, what makes you, like a lot of people, kind of chomping at the bit to see what this kid is capable of?
Well, just how physically and mentally much more mature he is. I mean, he just has so much more presence out there and a body that's changed a little bit, too. I mean, it was funny, and I always like to compare guys like him to when Marcus was here, and everybody liked to look back at when he was here, but it was interesting to see the body change over time, year one to year two, year two to year three, and what that meant to the velocity of the ball, what that meant to the presence in the pocket, and everything else that goes with it. That's what I've been really impressed with him. I mean, he's already a bright, intelligent guy.
Right.
A lot of the concepts of this offense are very similar to what Oregon ran in the past. There's some little tweaks here and there. There's no doubt about it, and they want to be a power running team, something that they didn't do quite as good a job as last year as they've done probably the previous 15 years, it seemed like. And but he just has such a presence about him, and physically he's bigger, and he catches on to things very quickly, and I think now they've become very used to the language that goes with this offense, and that was probably the biggest challenge for both sides of the ball is everything changed, including the language. Now, with repetition and 14 of the 15 practices done, they're looking a lot more comfortable with what they're doing.
Talking with Jorgie, last year, obviously, Coach Greatwood made the decision to start 3 redshirt freshmen. Then Crosby got hurt. It became 4. Now you add a year of experience. Crosby back. They've got a highly accomplished coach in Mario Cristobal. New faces added in there. Do we have good reason to be excited about the capability of this group?
Yeah, I do. And I like the way that you said that, too, because, you go through that process, and it can be a real growing pain type of situation, not only for the coaches, but and not only coaches and players, but fans, to be able to see freshmen, true freshmen or redshirt freshmen starting games and trying to pick things up against big-time schools and playing on the road at Nebraska and things like that. It can really test your patience, but it pays off a year later when those guys all of a sudden are veterans and they were high-quality redshirt freshmen and guys playing in their first years. So they're going to benefit from that a lot this year. And you know, it's going to be interesting to see how guys like George Moore, the one of the top JC offensive linemen when he gets here in here in the fall, how he mixes in with this group. And again, that Crosby really hasn't even gotten himself up to speed yet. Hopefully he is going to be able to do that by next fall. But in the meantime, everybody else has picked up the pace. And when you take Coach Cristobal out there, and again, his emphasis on that physicality, that identity that Oregon had for so long, that teams just didn't want to play against you because they knew you were going to be relentless about running the ball, and they may stop you three or four times in a row, but sooner or later, you're going to punch them in the mouth and then punch them again and punch them again. That's what these guys want to get back to, and it's kind of an identity that this team wants to create on both sides of the ball, and I think the offensive line in particular has an opportunity to really do that.
Along those lines, when last season ended, I told every fan who thought Royce Freeman was coming back that they were nuts. I was wrong.
I agree with you. I don't agree with you there.
Were you surprised he didn't head for the NFL? And just along those lines, with what we just talked about, a solid quarterback, a line, I mean, how big is it to have a guy of his caliber in there and in kind of an unexpected fashion?
Yeah, well, and I'll tell you, he looks like the Royce of old, too. I mean, he looks as healthy and as robust and as quick and as strong as you've ever seen. And they want to make sure that he uses his physicality to go right behind that offensive line. But, yeah, I was surprised. And to go back to your question, I was surprised if he did stay. I think that, as I look back at it a little bit further, I think it maybe, and again, I don't follow the NFL draft like I should, but quite a few running backs coming out where he may have fallen in behind those a little ways. And he's very much like, I compare him to Ifo, Ekpre Olamu, when he was here. Ifo was a guy who probably could have gone out his junior year, too, and obviously ends up hurting his knee that next year. But the education, I know, to he and his family, and to Royce and his family, is really, really important. I mean, they come from he comes from a family of parents who school is extremely important, and I think they kind of reemphasized that as part of the process, as you got to come back and have another big year, but let's get the education piece of it too. And it's neat to see that. It's refreshing to see that, because you don't see it as often as you should probably now. So I think he's going to benefit in a lot of different ways from coming back, from being the Royce of old, and finishing his education here. I think it's going to pay dividends for him when the time comes this next year to go to the NFL.
Got Jorgie on the line talking Duck football. We've heard about this moving depth chart, I guess a day-to-day evaluation, and like it's almost like seeing if they made the cut to check on their progress each day. What do you make of that philosophy, and how it might keep guys on their toes and maybe engaged more?
Yeah, well, there you go. It's going to keep guys really engaged. And, I mean, that's exactly the way that I've looked at it too, Steve, is your interest and your intensity and your effort is going to be, extremely high all the time. You can't take plays off. And he's made it a very highly competitive practice. Like I said before, a little earlier on, nobody should feel comfortable about what they're doing. But at the same time, it's one of those ones where there's just a different beat to the drum out there, a completely different beat. And the beat is pretty much the same. I think they've gotten into that pattern now of understand that you got to show up with your lunch bag every day ready to go. And that's what this team has done. And I think that depth chart kind of adds to it, too, that, that moving chart of, hey, I could be number two tomorrow, and I could be number one today. I better be sharp as a tack if I can, and from the quarterback position, not throwing picks or whatever else that they rated on. But I think it keeps guys on their toes, and it does keep that energy level high every single day, because it's very competitive out there.
I want to finish with what you're seeing on defense, because let's be frank, after a bad 2015, it got worse. We know Jim Leavitt worked magic at Colorado. With the talent he and his staff have to work with, under the assumption the offense should be pretty productive. Well, what's realistic? What do they need from the defense to improve on those four wins?
Well, I mean, to me, part of it is just, you know, moving from 126 to 96th. I mean, you know, whether that's something you want to be happy or not, happy about or not, is making movement forward and, you know, taking that average of 41.5 points last year that they gave up and making it 37, which is what the year before was in an 8-4 year, and just making progress slowly but surely. I think that they've got some tools there to be able to do it, to be a better defense. These guys coach their asses off, I'll tell you, every single one of them, from the defensive back coaches and the linebacker coaches to you know, Coach Leavitt himself, who's coaching some of those linebackers, and it's amazing how they get after those guys. But I think, you know, with the addition of Scott Pagano from Clemson, I mean, if he is anything like they think he is and is able to make a contribution right off the bat, if you can get a guy like that contributing at the line of scrimmage and with Jordan Scott, you know, at @fat_mac34, you got to like that, right?
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's just sweet to be able to see that. But if you can get some things out of guys like him and Pagano and that tape, it makes the linebackers better. It puts more pressure on the quarterback. It all of a sudden makes the corners a little bit better. And all of a sudden you go from 126 to 96 to 86 or that tape of deal, and you make those steps forward because the offense is going to score points. We know that. Defense just needs to be a little bit better, force a few more turnovers. I mean, you look at it last year, they only forced 8 fumbles and only recovered 3. And that just tells you something about a defense that didn't play very well. So I think they got some guys. And if a guy like Pagano can be any good, you know, anything that they think he's going to be, I think little things like that. I heard the thing that Matt Preem put out the other day. You know, the guys, who would you choose? Would it be Sammy Parker? Would it be, you know, what position? Well, I think you answered it right there. Even though he's no Haloti Ngata, that's the position that they needed a high-level guy, and I think they got him. So.
All right. Awesome. He's Mike Jorgensen. You can follow him on Twitter. Use the handle @Jorgie_Mike. As always, he'll be alongside Jerry Allen Saturday for the spring game. Jorgie, always great catching up. Thanks so much for the time, my friend.
All right, Steve. See you Saturday. Looking forward to it. Thanks.
You got it.